Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
And that's me, Karen Cataline, and it is Tuesday, October 8th, and this is our 85th show. That's show number 85, if you're counting. I am. All the archives can be found at KarenCataline.com. Boy, have I been busy. I'm telling you, I've been busy, busy as a bee. And the funny thing is, I'm kind of writing stuff that's different than what everybody else is talking about. I'm following, I'm watching this impeachment business. But as far as I'm concerned, it's just another hoax. I'll talk about that a little bit because it's an ongoing travesty. As far as I'm concerned, it's Trump Russia 2, and it's a hoax within a hoax within a hoax, because I don't think Nancy Pelosi even wants to impeach the president. What she wants to do is give the appearance of impeaching the president so that she can appease her dim-witted squad and other leftist radicals like Maxine Waters, who are also pretty dim-witted, and they don't, I'm sorry, I just have to say this. We have people in Congress that don't understand the government that they're representing. They don't understand the Constitution, they don't understand the rule of law, and they don't understand due process, even remotely. Now, I think there are some evil people who do understand it and are hell-bent on usurping it and going past it and, you know, na-na-na-na-na, you can't catch me. But in this case, the squad and the Maxine Waters of the world and the, what's his name, Evans, whatever his name is, I'm telling you, these people have no idea. The one that I always go back to is Maxine Waters, who, before Donald Trump served a day, I mean a day, in office, she wanted to impeach him. It didn't occur to her that in order to impeach a president, he has to have done something wrong first, okay? And as you know, even better than I, the left has been inflaming and inciting and outraging its base to believe that Donald Trump is the devil incarnate. And they're not even Christian. They're not even religious. And I'm not a Christian either. But the notion that they can build up and I say, I use this word on purpose, trump up so much hate and discontent towards this president so that basically they're out for blood and they are demanding that this president be impeached. The interesting thing is that most of them don't even know that impeach doesn't mean remove from office. It means indict for all purposes. So they don't even know that. He may well get impeached. In other words, because the Democrats have a majority in the House, it's not all that difficult for them to impeach him. In other words, to accuse him of high crimes and misdemeanors, which who was it recently in the hearing that said misdemeanors? I think it was Joe Biden at the last debate. Anyway, it utterly amazes me that the left is willing to get rid of a president with no real evidence. They trump up charges that have nothing to do with crimes. They're constantly creating crimes that do not exist. I just today had a new op-ed that probably leads right into this, I would guess, I think, that the theme of which it just was posted today. This is Tuesday. It was just posted today at Western Journal. I haven't written one for Western Journal in a little while. I haven't actually written an op-ed for a while because I've been writing lots of blogs. You know, I produce a lot of content. I put out one of those as well. So just so you know, follow me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and go to KarenKataline.com, and you can read all my stuff and know more about me than you ever really probably wanted to know. So the op-ed was the one that I spent an enormous amount of time on. And basically, it is about an observation I had a couple of months ago, which is that the left is turning everything inside out, backwards, upside down, and inside out. This isn't a new idea. In fact, to wax religious for a moment, it's very much like Purim, where nothing is as it appears to be, and you're admonished not to believe too closely even your own eyes, because the truth sometimes is what you see with your own eyes can be deceptive, and what people tell you can most certainly be deceptive. But what I was observing more specifically is that the left has gone about as part of their culture war, and that's what I believe we are in, a culture war. The left has turned everything that used to be private public, and everything that used to be public, they have shoved behind closed doors. Let me tell you what I mean. I gave actually a couple of examples, and there are tons of examples of this upside downness, but in particular, turning private behavior into public behavior. Things like, I'll just have to read this to you, because sometimes when you read this stuff, it's a little bleary-eyed, you know? You get a little bleary-eyed because you read it over and over and over again, and you don't even see the typos, the bane of my existence. So here we go. Where is it? I'm finding it. Yes, I am. I'm finding it. So a primary aspect of that, of the culture war, is to manipulate a culture shift, to push behaviors that used to be private into the public sphere while driving other behaviors that were always public into the private sphere, right? So things like, people talk about their sex lives all the time, and it isn't just celebrities, it's anyone is somehow expected to give you part and parcel descriptions of their sex life, their sex preferences, and their sex practices. And there are other enormous numbers of examples of less personal boundaries in life today, in modern life. And that could be partly because of the internet, and because of people are constantly posting some of their most private, profound ideas with no embarrassment. And, you know, there's a value to some kinds of embarrassment. Not being embarrassed is not the highest value one could have. Sometimes embarrassment has, a tad of humility attached. But today, I'll tell you straight out, I don't like on Facebook. In fact, I wouldn't be on Facebook if it weren't for the work that I do. I don't like on Facebook to see people who post pictures of relatives on their deathbeds. I got into a lot of trouble because I, being the outspoken person I am, I told the person this was his father, and his father was literally lying on his deathbed. And there's an old Jewish tradition. It goes a little further than what I'm talking to you about, and that is you don't look upon the dead. We don't believe in open caskets. And you know why? It makes a lot of sense, because it's disrespectful to look on a person who can't look back at you. We're not talking about a blind person. We're talking about a dead person. So it's important to be respectful and to post that all over Facebook. I mean, there's just a lack of boundaries today, and that goes entirely to almost every aspect of life. In particular, you see the defecating on the street, and people don't even, you know, a lot of people are outraged by it, but honestly, people don't understand why this is not a crime, or if it is a crime, why is it not being why is the law not being enforced? And so this is just one example of private behavior, defecation in public, going nude in public. Everything is public. So nature abhors a vacuum. So what do we have being shoved into the closet in place of all of that private behavior? I mean, what's sacred today? Things that you keep private, things that you keep, you know, close to your heart, close to your soul. So what would you say is now, in the matter of the left, shoving into the closet? Well, sadly, I submit that that is the disagreement and the free speech that we used to enjoy in public, where public discourse was the order of the day in America. I never thought I'd live to see a day where people are demeaned, admonished, and even criminalized, which is a blatant violation of the First Amendment, which says that government cannot punish you for what you say. And yet right now in New York City, and it's in this article, I cite this, that in New York City, there are laws where you can be fined with penalties up to $250,000 for using an unpreferred pronoun with one of your employees. Now, many people would say, well, how can they possibly do that? That is a violation of the First Amendment. But you see, all they have to do is claim that somebody feels threatened or somebody feels that language is somehow violence. You notice the other upside down thing. There's a lot of them because our culture and our very way of life, frankly, hate to be so dramatic, but you can't be dramatic with this stuff because it is dramatic and it's happening. And our very way of life is under attack. There's just no two ways about it. Everything good in this country is being turned ugly and bad and nasty. And the worst and ugliest human behavior is now being elevated to something either good or as a result of being a victim. And this is all an attack on America and on American culture. So how do they get away with the government fining you and punishing you for something you say? Well, for one, they say it's employees, right? So now that the government has long ago stuck its camel's nose under the tent of private business, and frankly, I have to give you one exception here. I put a call in to an extremely leftist lawyer in New York. I'd like to interview her next week. As soon as I told her I disagree with her, I may never hear from her again, but I like to be upfront about these things. I don't like to tell people that I'm going to blindside them. I tell them upfront, I disagree with you and I'd like to have a conversation, because it's a lot more interesting to listen to people who disagree and who can civilly discuss issues than to have people on that constantly agree with me. So she said she'd get back to me. And of course, that's been 24 hours now. So she writes, she's involved in this whole movement to punish people for not using the correct pronoun. They call it, get this, talk about 1984. And of course, this is almost 2020. Gender Expression Non-Discrimination Act, right? So the way they get around that partly is to call speech violence. And meanwhile, real violence is really no big deal to the left. This is all part of the crazy making, upside down thinking that happens when Well, when you hate a country and you want to do everything you can to bring it down so you can remake it in your own utopian socialist image. Not that I have any kind of strong feelings about that. You understand, right? So that's what's going on here. And if people wonder, is this really going on, that they're elevating bad behavior and demonizing good behavior? Just ask yourself what they're doing to people who dared to vote for and support Donald Trump openly and publicly. Ask yourself what gun owners have to go through. They are demonized. The NRA, which does better gun safety training than, of course, anyone else, because they have a vested interest in making sure that people are safe around guns, right? They never demonized the National Swimming Pool Association, right? And people die in swimming pools. Children die in swimming pools. But somehow the left isn't demonizing the Swimming Pool Association. I don't even know if there is one. But the idea is this is all politically motivated. And everything they do seems to be. Now, that could connect right back to why they want to get rid of Donald Trump. But I've written that. And you can read that at www.karencataline.com. And I wrote two blogs about why they hate Donald Trump. No, not why they hate him. I've just got to clarify that. Everybody says they hate Donald Trump. The left hates him. And that's why they're trying so bad to get rid of him. As if their very emotions of hatred could justify felonious behavior. Well, number one, that's nonsense. I don't really think they do hate Donald Trump. Isn't that a radical idea? I don't think so. I think they have been inciting hatred towards Donald Trump as a means to an end. What's the end? To get rid of him and to get him out of power, because he loves America and he's not afraid to say so. He believes in American exceptionalism. He is outwardly against globalism and socialism, and they're getting rich off of it. And that's why they think they have to get rid of him. The other thing is that he represents the exposure of all of their dirty dealings and their corruption and what's been going on in Washington for a very long time. I have five of them, five reasons. I'm sure there are more. But anyway, a couple other really quick things before we take a break. Tonight is Erev Yom Kippur. Some people call it Erev Yom Kippur. I've never known which. I call it both. Yom Kippur is the holiest day of the year in the Jewish calendar. It's the day in which we ask forgiveness for our sins and to wipe the slate clean. It's almost as if we save it all up for 1 year. Not that Jews don't ask for forgiveness during the rest of the year, but we save that day as the Day of Atonement. And tonight is the evening of that holiday, and it goes until tomorrow night after sundown. So if you are Jewish and are fasting, I wish you an easy fast. And I thought it was worth mentioning. The other thing is that when we come back, I'm going to have a wonderful guest that unfortunately I wasn't able to have on terrestrial radio recently. So I decided to invite him here on my show, Spouting Off. His name is Steve Ronnebeck. He is an angel dad, and he also happens to be running for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District in the state of Arizona. He has quite a story to tell. The issue of illegal immigration could not be hotter. So I invite you to stay tuned after the break, when hopefully we will have with us Steve Ronnebeck. This is Karen Cataline. You're listening to Spouting Off here on BBS Station 1.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air but you haven't been able to find the right words. Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
This is Karen Cataline. Are you unsure if your current Medicare plan is still the best one for you? The annual enrollment period is right around the corner. This is the best time of year to review your plan and learn what's new. Anita McAllister is a licensed agent who will guide you through the confusing Medicare maze. Since 2011, she has helped many individuals and couples obtain Medicare peace of mind. Call her today at 970-515-6882 to set up a no-obligation, no-cost appointment. That's 970-515-6882 for Anita McAllister. And we're back. This is Karen Cataline, and you're listening to Spouting Off here on BBS Radio, Station 1. I am so excited to have with us our guest for the rest of the program, Steve Ronnebeck. Steve is an angel dad, which is not something you ever want to be. He lost his son by an illegal alien. And instead of doing nothing, he became an activist against illegal immigration, and he just happens to be running for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District in the state of Arizona. He's also met with the president, with President Trump, on 8 different occasions, beginning with his campaign up to February of 2019. He is a spokesperson for several local and federal campaigns, and he is quite involved in a wonderful project called We Build the Wall. So welcome to Spouting Off, Steve Ronnebeck. Great to have you.
Thank you so much, Karen. Thanks for having me.
Yes, yes. And it's we have not spoken before, but we had a little bit of a false start on terrestrial radio, and so I was quite happy that you were available. Thank you for your time. Well, for those of us who have not met you before and don't know anything about you, if you could, and I know it's not easy, to talk a little bit about your son, Grant, and what happened to him and what caused you to be the activist against illegal immigration that you've become.
Well, January 22nd, 2015, Grant was working the overnight shift at a Quick Trip in Mesa, Arizona. An illegal alien came in and wanted to buy cigarettes. He dumped a jar of change out on the counter. Grant went to start counting the change. This man said, "What, you're not going to give me my cigarettes?" And Grant said, "Hey, you know, I got to count your change." Well, this man pulled a gun At that point, Grant did everything he was supposed to do. He went ahead and handed over the cigarettes. As soon as Grant handed over the cigarettes, this man shot Grant point blank in the face.
Oh, God.
And he then stepped around the counter, stepped over Grant, grabbed a couple more packs of cigarettes. He then stepped back over Grant, and he turned. He stuck his hand back in his right front pocket, which is where he had the gun. And he kept looking at Grant for a few seconds to make sure Grant didn't move. And from what I can see is, and I've watched the video of my son's murder. I owed it to Grant to do that. But the only thing that I can think of is that he was making sure Grant didn't move. And if Grant had moved, he was going to shoot him again. And this is the type of animals that we have coming across our southern border. I've never once said they're all bad, and I will continue to believe that. But the ones that are bad that are coming across our southern border, and which is a good portion of them, this is happening every day now. This is averaging 24 a day that we're losing American citizens.
24 a day to illegal alien criminals. And the left, I've just got to editorialize a little here, and the left is deadly worried about children being separated from their parents when they've been brought here illegally. They wouldn't be separated from their parents if they would stay home. But they don't seem to show any compassion for your son or for 24 citizens a day being killed. Stunning.
Well, and
horrible.
Well, and what's even more stunning now is the illegal aliens through the ACLU have filed a class action lawsuit against our federal government for the separation of their families at the border.
Could you repeat that again? For what?
For separating the families at the border. A bunch of illegal aliens have gotten together, and the ACLU is representing them, and have filed a lawsuit against our federal government, against President Trump, against ICE, Border Patrol, the whole group, and they've filed this billions of dollars lawsuit because they've separated children from their parents at the border. And what I'd like your listeners to know is I celebrate Christmas at Grant's grave. I celebrate Grant's birthday at Grant's grave. We really don't set up a Christmas tree at my house anymore. We set a Christmas tree up at Grant's grave. I'm permanently separated from Grant, just like 24 other families a day. We're permanently separated, but we are not allowed to sue the government. And I tried. I tried to sue.
You did.
President Obama. Oh, yeah, I tried to sue President Obama, and I tried to sue, you know, at the time, Jay Johnson and the whole DHS thing, and I couldn't find an attorney that would take the case because they were allowed to hide behind a simple word, and the simple word is called discretion. But yet the ACLU comes in, and they want so badly to have these illegal aliens here, they don't care about the crimes they commit. They just want them as voters.
No, citizens are like collateral damage to them, which is an ugly and horrible thing to say, but it's true. So have you ever had occasion to talk to anybody high up in the ACLU to ask them about your rights, to ask them if they care about what happened to you?
Well, about 3 years ago, I had a state senator, Steve Smith, in Arizona had brought about Grant's Law and had written Grant's Law, which was a simple sentencing law. It used to be illegal aliens would serve about 50% of their sentence. And all this bill said is, hey, they're going to serve the presumptive sentence just like an American citizen would. Well, the ACLU showed up at a hearing for this bill, and I had a chance to speak to the director in Arizona about what happened to Grant. And I asked him, I said, you know, I just want to ask a question. And that's exactly how I asked him. I wasn't antagonistic in any way. And I said, I just want to ask a question. I was like, where were you when my son's rights were violated?
Right.
Where were you? And God love this one young lady that was with him said, well, I'm out in the public every day and I'm helping everybody I can. And I'm like, no, you're not. Because I haven't heard one word from you since my son was killed. I haven't heard anything from you on any of these other children that have been killed by illegal aliens. Not one of the angel parents has heard from you, the ACLU, on what you're going to do for us.
What did she say?
She couldn't answer me.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me just tell you and our listeners a little bit about why you came on my radar, and I'm so very glad you did. And then we're going to take a break, and we'll come back and talk about your campaign. For whatever the reason, it didn't work out for you to be a guest on a local radio station here in town. There was a huge drama taking place at the very ICE detention center in Aurora, Colorado, where a Mexican flag was hoisted. A thin blue line flag was defaced and then hoisted back up, and an American flag was taken down. Because of that, I'm sure you're familiar with Michelle Malkin. Michelle Malkin led a rally, and the day you were supposed to be on, and this is your chance now, and I'm hoping lots of those people will listen to this interview, or we'll have you on other places too. Was the very day of the rally in which even Republicans were telling other conservatives, and it's not just conservatives and Republicans, it's not a party issue, telling people who wanted to stand with ICE the second time and cause the Aurora Police Department to do their job, which they hadn't done previously. And they were being told, well, don't go because it's Antifa and you're going to get hurt and you should stand down. You should let the cops do their job. Well, come to find out, I went there and it turns out that the people that stood with ICE and stood with the police department and stood with law enforcement basically caused the bad guys to pick another day to fight. And that is the kind of fight that is necessary to stand up for our country. And you've become the kind of activist. In fact, the head of the, her name is Maria Espinoza, who I'm sure you're familiar with. She was there at the rally, as were a bunch of other people. So we have this movement today. I'm going to ask you this question, and then we'll take a break. We have this movement today of people that basically just want to abolish ICE altogether. They are being run by communists, but they claim they must demonize law enforcement in order to say that they want ICE abolished, when what they really want are open borders. Okay? In fact, go ahead and comment on that, then we'll take a break.
Well, I thank you for that. And you know, the comment I have is it's absolutely ridiculous. And just to show you how ridiculous it has gotten, is one of the squad of four, my favorite out of the squad of four, who was AOC, has now come up. She's now come up with, we need to abolish our prisons.
Oh yes, I saw that.
So how ridiculous is this? So we want open borders, and we want prisoners and murderers and rapists running around, and child predators. Let's not forget them.
Yeah.
We want them running around on our streets, and we're going to re-educate, and we're going to, you know, have them serve their time at home or running the streets, and they're not bad people, and nobody belongs in cages.
No. Criminals are victims, and law-abiding citizens are criminals, don't you know? And after all, what's she going to do when the Me Too people wonder why she's not standing up to protect women against rapists? I mean, you can't even reason with people like this. You can't.
No, you can't. You can't have it both ways.
No, but you are standing up. I am standing up. our listeners are standing up. We're going to talk about your political campaign and We Build the Wall after we take a break. Can you stay with us?
Absolutely.
Good. Our guest is Steve Runaback, Angel Dad and candidate for Congress in Arizona. You're listening to Karen Cataline and Spouting Off. We'll be right back. This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening, and if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off. This is Karen Cataline. Are you unsure if your current Medicare plan is still the best one for you? The annual enrollment period is right around the corner. This is the best time of year to review your plan and learn what's new. Anita McAllister is a licensed agent who will guide you through the confusing Medicare maze. Since 2011, she has helped many individuals and couples obtain Medicare peace of mind. Call her today at 970-515-6882 to set up a no-obligation, no-cost appointment. That's 970-515-6882 for Anita McAllister. And we're back. This is Karen Cataline, and you're listening to Spouting Off here on PBS Radio Station 1. I'm enjoying talking to Steve Runaback here off the air, and he is an angel dad, not something any of us ever want to know what he knows. Having lost his son to a criminal illegal alien in 2015, he's also running for Congress. And there's a question I kind of teased you off the air a little bit, Steve, that I always ask people when we talk about illegal immigration, and everybody knows, I mean, there's a stock answer that people give that the reason why we have these porous borders and this lawlessness is because Democrats want the votes and Republicans want the cheap labor. And while that is, I'm sure, partly true, I know it's true on the left side of the ledger, it always bothers me because it lets Republicans too easily off the hook. Republicans have to know that the Democrats want to make them a permanent minority in this country, never to elect another Republican president again. In fact, we thought that almost was going to happen in 2016, and then we had this miracle called Donald Trump. So my question is, with the Republicans that not only hate Donald Trump because he wants to secure the borders, he is not a globalist, are they knowingly wanting to be a minority. They've campaigned on winning, and yet they know that they're on the same side as the people that want to turn them into a permanent minority. You see what I'm saying? What do you think about that?
You know, I'm gonna put it this way. When Donald Trump came out and said he wanted to drain the swamp, that swamp includes Republicans. It includes Democrats. And I think that, one of my campaign promises is I'm going to self-impose term limit. I will not run more than 6 times. I will spend no more than 12 years in Congress. We have so many of these career politicians that, thank goodness, there's more than a few of them that are retiring at the end of their term this next year. But I think where we're going with this is that, yes, I agree. They want to remove the Republican Party in any way they can. I mean, they're doing it any way they can. They're removing our historical monuments. They're removing our constitutional rights. They want so badly to have a global economy and a global government. They're willing to do whatever they can to get it. And yeah. I don't think that anybody realizes what they're opening themselves up for, including the Republicans.
Yeah, you're being kind. God willing, you prevail and win a seat in Congress. Tell us about your campaign and how's it looking. Tell us, those people who are not in Arizona, what your campaign looks like, a little bit of your platform, and who's your opponent?
Well, I'll start off with my opponent. My opponent is Raul Grijalva. Raul has been in office for 18 years. He is guilty of some legendary bad behavior. He has been photographed and witnessed being drunk in a bar instead of being in his office or on the floor voting. He's had some workplace lawsuits that have come up that the taxpayers have actually had to pay off some people. There's been some sexual indiscretions with workers that taxpayers have had to pay for. And his nickname is actually the Cartel Congressman.
Ha! Yeah, but he's a Democrat, so you think he'd ever be held accountable?
Well, no, and what the other thing that a lot of people don't know about him is he is the co-chair of the Democratic Socialist Caucus in Washington. And the Squad of Four are members of the same caucus. So we have all this going on. We also have a district that has been ignored by Raul Grijalva. The district I'm running in is right now they are at about a 17.3% unemployment rate. So the rest of the country is enjoying less than 4%. Yeah, 17.3%.
Why? How come? Why?
He does nothing. He's actually chased new business and new corporations out of the district. He's against mining. He's against anything that that might bring more business, more revenue into the district. He's against it. And everybody knows that Arizona is the copper state. We have huge copper mines. Well, there's places in the district that have deposits of copper that these could be mined to give residents and constituents jobs, but he won't let it happen.
What's the registration in that district? And are you the nominee, or do you have opponents?
I have an opponent on the Republican side. I don't really think he's anything to be worried about as far as this is concerned. He's kind of a ghost. Nobody knows him. Nobody knows who he is. Uh-huh. I'm a plus 13 Democrat district, which is going to be rough. It's going to be an uphill battle. But uh-huh. I have Democrats that have messaged me and said, hey, we would rather try 2 years with you than continue on with Raul. So I have Democrats that are actually looking at, hey, this guy's a Republican, but we're going to give him a try to see if he can bring money and jobs back to our communities.
Well, and you can, too. All you got to do is remember how it's done. It's called free markets. You think Donald Trump will help you in your campaign? I bet he will.
I'm pretty sure he will. Obviously, you know, it's pretty early in the campaign. You know, and again, it's an uphill battle. So if anybody wants to help, they can go to steveronnebeck.com. $5, $10, $20 will help me. But the biggest thing is I want people to realize I'm running my basic stance is illegal immigration and securing our border. Because a lot of people don't understand that porous border touches so much of our lives. It affects our health insurance, our car insurance, our grocery prices, our jobs, our income. It invades every part of our life.
And you're running on the hottest issue that there is today, and that's because of our President Donald Trump, who tapped into the awareness that the public outside of the Beltway feels exactly as you do and as I do, that we're having this agenda hoisted upon us, not unlike that Mexican flag is being hoisted upon us without our consent. So it is a profoundly serious issue. And the fact that Donald Trump, I think I saw, as a matter of fact, when I was doing that show on terrestrial radio, I think I kept repeating, I have it here somewhere, that something like 64 or 65% of all voters will not vote for a candidate who says he or she wants open borders. They most certainly are not going to vote for a candidate who says that we should give them free health care or that we should abolish ICE. So it's a losing issue for them, which means it could be a winning issue for you, right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, it is. And you know, we have legal immigrants, and there's a lot of them in my district, legal immigrants that are so angry because mm-hmm. they're watching. Well, so far this year, 989,000 illegal aliens have come across our southern border. That's just so far this year.
Okay. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Last year it was $186 billion of our tax dollars. And that was based on 300,000 to 400,000 illegal immigrants. So at 989,000, we're $300-400 billion is what we're going to spend on illegal immigration.
And this sounds like it's off the subject, but it's directly on the subject. Did you have anybody who ran a bill on the national popular vote in Arizona trying to pass that? Probably not.
No, we didn't. Okay. Right now, Angel Families are, which I'm also part of the Angel Families, obviously, we are fighting really, really hard to go state to state to state to start instituting taxing remittances. Oklahoma right now is the only one who does it. Last year, they made $11 million taxing remittances.
Steve, the reason I asked about the national popular vote is, you know, if you connect the dots, what the left is trying to do, they are trying desperately to funnel all of these illegal aliens all over the country, but in particular California in these high populated areas. Then in places like Colorado, where we don't have enough votes to stop them, but we're stopping them at the ballot box, they have forced, believe it or not, something is called the National Popular Vote Pact, or whatever. It's an interstate pact, which is really an end run around Congress, that would hand our votes in Colorado to whoever gets the most votes nationally. It's a ploy to get rid of the Electoral College. Well, just think about this. I'm just only pointing this out so that when you go and talk to other people, look at the combination of handing our votes in Colorado to California while disenfranchising Californians with illegal aliens. And guess what you get? A permanent Democrat majority in the, at the federal level. That's what you get.
Well, and the other thing you're going to get socialism. You're going to lose your guns. You are going to lose your livelihood. And I wish, I really wish, I wish that the liberals that are wanting this would realize that they're going to be in the breadline right next to you and I.
They never think so, though, do they? Because there's a narcissism that goes along with anybody who thinks they should be allowed to tell other people how to live. And that's what, you know, it's a fundamental philosophical difference. But I don't want to go down that road, because if I do, I'll never have time to have you talk about We Build the Wall. Tell us about that in our last couple of minutes together.
Yes. Brian Colfage started the GoFundMe for the wall.
And he's from Colorado, too.
He lived there. Well, no, that's Tom Tancredo.
Brian's Tom Tancredo, too, but Brian, well, anyway, it's not important. But yes, go ahead. Brian Colfage.
Yep. He contacted me and Marianne Mendoza shortly after the first of the year and asked if we wanted to become part of the advisory board. And Marianne and I both were like, oh, yeah, we'd love to do that. And, you know, it's been a great fit. It's a natural fit, because Brian, part of what spurred him on was the stories about Grant and about Brandon Mendoza and the hundreds of others that he'd heard. And he, you know, this man is a hero in my eyes. He's a military hero. This man literally got blown up for his country. Literally.
Yes.
And he still wants to serve.
Just for our listeners, he's a triple amputee, and he lost both legs and an arm in, was it the Afghan War?
Yes. And, you know, he's done more in less than a year than our government has done in decades.
Yeah.
We built 0.8 of a mile for half the cost in a quarter of the time, and it's better built than the fence that we've had built. I mean,
I've seen pictures of it. Where can people go to see the pictures of it? Because remember, the Matt Drudge, who's gone to the dark side, said that not one bit of wall has been built, and that's just an out and out lie. I've seen it. Where can we see
those
pictures?
They built it. They could go to WeBuildTheWall.us. WeBuildTheWall.us. And the other thing is we're just getting ready to break ground on sites 2 and 3. So there's more coming, and it's coming quickly.
Yeah.
And we're filling in those gaps that the government isn't able to do. We're able to do
that. Doesn't want to do. Or doesn't want to do. Did they run into any kind of legal problems, or did they have to get permission from people who own the private property where that wall is?
Well, and what we do is we do the legal way through the owners of private property. But down in Sunland Park, and just to show you how corrupt Sunland Park is, they have a physical population of 980 people. On paper, they have over 12,000.
Oh, my. Do they vote?
And they have. They do. And you have people living in Juarez coming across the border. They get post office boxes. And they're receiving welfare benefits, and they live in Juarez.
Where's the attorney general in all this?
Well, this is New Mexico governor, the whole nine yards.
Problem.
But no, they tried to shut us down by saying that we built a wall, built a fence that was too high, until they went back and we forced them to check, hey, this is on private land and it's a business. We can go as high as we want. So they actually shut us down for 24 hours.
Yeah. God love you, Steve Ronnebeck. That's about all the time we have. Tell everybody how they can give money to your campaign, to We Build the Wall, how they can connect with you on Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff.
Absolutely. They could just, all they got to do is search my name, Steve Ronnebeck. It'll bring up my Facebook and Twitter. Please
Let's
do follow
spell
me.
That for everybody. R-O-N-N-E-B-E-C-K, Ronnebeck.
Yep, correct.
Okay.
They could go to steveronnebeck.com and contribute directly to my campaign. They can go to angelfamilies.com and contribute to Marianne Mendoza and the other angel families so that we can continue getting out there and educating people. And WeBuildTheWall.us, if you want to keep this wall coming and you want to help keep building this wall, remember, folks, you built this wall by donating. It's your wall. If you want to build more wall, it's yours. Donate to WeBuildTheWall.us.
That's wonderful, Steve Ronnebeck. Thank you so much for joining us here on Spouting Off, and I hope to be talking to you again soon. Take care.
You will. Thank you, ma'am.
Great. Thank you. And that's about all the time we have for this edition of Spouting Off. That's the trademarked name for Spouting Off, the live call-in talk radio. And we don't get a lot of calls here, but we're going to start getting more in the near future. If you'd like to reach me, you can at www.KarenCataline.com. Facebook and Twitter, all the same, Karen Cataline. Thank you to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio. And to HW, my husband, the multi-talented guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there's going to be a whole lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.